Hello, 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 and welcome to the 10-Minute Basketball Podcast. I am your host, Stefan. Thank you so much for checking us out. I have a really special guest on the show today.
Hi, I'm Russell, and I'm a Laker fan.
That he is. So in case anybody wants to know his affiliation, it is with the Los Angeles Lakers. So let's get started. Let's talk Rookie of the Year. What are your thoughts? Who's going to get it, and why do you think they're going to get Rookie of the Year?
Well, I'm a little bit biased because I'm a Laker fan, of course. So I love what Lonzo Ball's doing, but
what is he doing?
You know, he just—you can tell that he has a good feel for the game. He always is making the right passes, but right now he's not quite looking for his offense, so it's a little bit tough. I really didn't like when they were playing the Wizards, and he scored 0 points and had zero assists against John Wall, and he did all his damage against other players. So that was kind of a disappointment, but it's really hard to say, and it's hard to admit that Ben Simmons is for sure the lock. I mean, the guy can score, he can pass, he can, I mean, he does a little bit of everything, and it's pretty impressive.
Do you think his being around the NBA for a year already helped him sort of establish himself as maybe the leading Rookie of the Year candidate?
Absolutely. I mean, you get so much experience just traveling with the team and getting a feel for what it's like on a back-to-back going from East Coast to West Coast or West Coast to East Coast. And you really get a feel for the pace of the game. You get a feel for what the schedule's like. And I think that's, I mean, it's a huge advantage for being able to get a feel for the game, mm-hmm. you know, sitting out that whole year.
Yeah. What do you think Lonzo Ball can do to maybe elevate his game?
I think he just needs to be a little bit more aggressive. He tends to not look for a shot. He's a little bit timid. He passes up some mid-range jumpers that, you know, he tries to look for and make the extra pass when I think he just needs to take a shot and just go with it. But I think he's really good at filling out the game, filling out the pace of the game, filling out which teammates need to be fed, which ones need to be more involved in the game. And I think he's really good at that, which is, you can't teach that. So, you know, the aggressiveness will come, the looking for a shot will come, but he is really good at getting people involved.
Yeah, I think that's good. All right, let's switch gears a little bit. Let's talk about the draft class from the last couple of years. Who do you see that has been standing out? Who do you see that you wonder if they're even still in the NBA these days?
Honestly, okay, so this draft class, the 2017 draft class, is pretty dang impressive. I think in 5 to 10 years, we'll look back at this class and say this is, you know, pretty comparable to the draft class that included LeBron James, Carmelo Anthony. Because looking at the top 10 picks, I mean, you have Fultz, you got Ball, you got Jason Tatum playing big minutes for Boston, and they're still competitive even though they lost Hayward, and you got Josh Jackson, who I'm kind of glad the Lakers passed on Josh Jackson. There's a little bit of talk that they were going to take him, mm-hmm. But he just, maybe it's the situation he's in with Phoenix.
Definitely the situation.
Yeah, his body language just isn't good, and there's Jackson, there's Marquise Chris, and there's Dragan Bender, and they all kind of play the same role, and it's just not a good situation for him, so I feel kind of bad. But like De'Aaron Fox, that guy's a gamer. He shut down Lonzo Ball in college, and he'll probably this year shut him down a little bit in the league too, because, you know, Lonzo Ball's being a little bit timid.
Yeah.
But comparing this to past draft classes, last year's draft classes, it's pretty, once you get out of the top three, once you get out of Simmons, Ingram, Jaylen Brown, it drops off pretty quick, because the next pick was Dragan Bender. After that, you got Chris Dunn, Buddy Hield, and Buddy Hield's like struggling to even be the starting shooting guard in the Kings, who are not doing too hot.
And don't forget that New Orleans, what are they called? Pelicans?
Pelicans.
Their owner said that he was on the same level as Steph Curry. I just want to drop that right there.
Yeah, that's not good. Not good at all. But even going back now, the 2015 draft class, who are entering their third year, which is kind of like a make or break year. Like mm-hmm. if you take that third year leap, looking back, and there's some pretty good talent. You got Towns, you got D'Angelo Russell in a new situation. Okafor is kind of rough because, you know, he's not in a good situation in Philly where they're rebuilding, and he's kind of not a part of that.
He didn't trust the process.
Yeah, you got Porzingis who's balling out. Like, there was always a question, is he going to be able to take on that lead offensive role? And he's killing it right now. He's playing out of his mind. Yeah. But the one guy in the 2015 draft class who I actually really like is Rondae Hollis-Jefferson.
Really?
He's playing a little bit like he's like Draymond Green light. He can board, he can play D, he's everywhere on the court. He doesn't quite have the the passing ability of Draymond. He's not quite the floor general, but I mean, as a third year player, he's like,
he's Brooklyn? Getting there.
He's in Brooklyn. He can shoot free throws. He shoot a little bit of threes, but he's the guy I'm keeping an eye on. And even guys like Miles Turner, he's balling out too in Indiana. He's struggling with a concussion right now, but he's a baller too. And don't forget Devin Booker.
Booker.
That guy's lights out. He's so good.
He is the next incarnation of Kobe Bryant, I think.
He might be he definitely shoots the volume of Kobe Bryant.
Yeah. I don't think skill wise he's there yet, but I think if he was in a better situation with a better coach and a better organization.
Yeah, I think offensively he may have the skill set of like if you want to compare him to a Kobe Bryant, but people forget Kobe Bryant was like a lockdown defender too. He was always willing to take on like the best offensive player on the other team. He just had that competitive edge, and to be honest, Devin Booker's defense just isn't there.
You're going to hear this here first, but I can totally see this happening. Look for Devin Booker to go to the New York Knicks in about 3 years.
The Knicks? Why the Knicks?
I'm just telling you, it might happen. You heard it here first.
Oh man, that would be pretty cool though to see him with Porzingis. Yeah. That'd be a fun pairing.
This has been recorded in history for when it actually happens.
The Knicks, interesting.
Yeah,
interesting.
Let's move to a topic I have not covered yet, and I'm very interested in your perspective on this. If you were commissioner of the NBA in 2018, what changes would you make to the league, to the schedule, to whatever, because you're the commissioner?
I have a couple ideas what I would do. I think first off, I would still have an Eastern Conference and a Western Conference, but for playoff seedings, I would just do the top 16 teams make the playoffs.
By record?
By record, yeah, do it by record. So if that turns into 10 Western Conference teams and only 6 Eastern Conference teams, so be it. I want the top 16 teams, the best teams there. But to make it more interesting, I think I would have the 15th seed and the 16th seed be decided by a play-in game.
Ooh, a la college.
Yeah.
Okay.
A la college.
Okay.
I think because it just gives incentive for so technically it would be the 15th, 16th, 17th, and 18th best record having to play into almost like a wild card game into the playoffs.
Yeah. What would you do if there were maybe 3 or 4 teams tied for 18th through, 16th slot? Are those play-in games for the play-in game?
So that would be kind of tough to do if they had the same record. I think at that point I would do it based on during the season, whatever the record was between the two teams.
Oh, head-to-head record?
Head-to-head record, yeah, exactly. I think you can also, in terms of how this would affect the draft, you can give the 15th, 16th, 17th, 18th team, you can give them like an extra mid-level exception guy for being the 15th, 16th, 17th, 18th teams into the playoffs. Give them some kind of incentive for the bottom teams to want to be even in that wild card game, if you want to call it that.
Yeah, so it's like you haven't quite tanked. You're maybe like the Miami Heat from last year where you're like just
on the cusp, just on the cusp, yeah. So the incentive to, not tank those rest of the games to get in the better position in the lottery would be, well, if we play into the playoffs, we get an extra mid-level exception contract for the next year. That'd be pretty sweet. I think that'd give good incentive, and it doesn't really throw off next year's draft, because I think the bottom team should have the opportunity to get better picks.
Yeah, I definitely agree. Maybe give us one more.
One more. I think something fun would be to have, if the G League does indeed take off and they do change the one and done college rule, if you can have some sort of relegation system. So the bottom 2 or 3 teams in the league get relegated to the G League.
Mm.
If they're not, I mean, this is a total pipe dream and way in the future if the G League actually does take off.
Yeah.
So the bottom 3 teams get relegated. The top 3 teams in the G League get equal opportunity for the first, second, third, or for the first pick in the next year's draft. So then it's incentive for the G League teams to be good to get that first pick.
Okay.
I think that'd be kind of fun to see. And that totally gets rid of the whole, tanking process.
Yeah. I love it. Well, Russell, thank you so much for joining us on the 10
It Was a Pleasure
Basketball Podcast. We'll have you on again. And thanks so much for the love, and we'll see you next week.